time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Tough kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm your host, Cameron Collins. I am here with my co-host, Nicholas Biella.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a special edition of Sounders Scuttlebutt. We are live post-game after the Cascadia Derby against the Portland Timbers. We've got the Ultras here with us. You want to all introduce yourselves?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, Alex.
Dan, and I guess that's what it feels like to be Portland at home.
Yeah.
And Cedar here. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What is up, Cedar? Welcome to Seattle. You are here in person right now.
I'm here. I made the trip up from the Bay Area, and I'm glad I came up, especially for that game. That was a nice reward. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's good to see you in person instead of across a computer screen sometimes with mad sirens going on outside your apartment in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's San Francisco for you. Yeah, it's great to meet all you guys in person, hang out, you know, chant and sing in ECS together. And yeah, we had a blast. It's been good.
And actually, think about it, all three of you traveled to be here, which is probably why we always record online. Where, I mean, San Francisco, obviously the furthest, but Yakima and Olympia, right? So,
Tacoma.
I thought, why did I think you were Olympia? I don't know. It's Tacoma's still, far, especially with traffic.
No, I think Dan moved to Olympia at this point.
Yeah, maybe it's because you work adjacent to things that happen in Olympia.
Yeah, I work in Olympia.
Yeah. So I'm gonna we're short on mics here, so make sure you grab mics, pass them back and forth, and I'm gonna hand it off to Nicholas to talk about. Do we have any scuttlebutt beyond them being here?
I mean, yeah, we have a lot of scuttlebutt going on, including we have some special guests here today that, since this is an audio-only format today, we are being recorded right now as we speak. Copa 90's been here doing some special stuff today, so welcome to our Copa 90 guests. Just kind of highlighting Seattle and as we get ready for the World Cup. This week has been big with the World Cup. Did anyone get into the Visa lottery? Anyone win? Anyone?
No.
Does anyone know someone who's won?
I signed up, but I haven't even seen an email if I won or not. So
I do not know anyone that's been chosen. Anyone else in the room? Anyone? We got one. Oh, we have the one. Okay, well, congratulations there. All right. There will be plenty of chances. We'll talk plenty about that going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I was sad. I didn't get chosen for that. I didn't get chosen for ALCS tickets if the Mariners make it. But after tonight's loss, who knows? But we do have that chance to the right to buy for one match in Seattle because of the Club World Cup ticket participation we did. And so hopefully still we can get that USA match, although $500 a ticket might be a little cost prohibitive if we're stuck with the top two tiers.
Well, yeah, that's category 3 and 4, or I'm sorry, 1 and 2. I think 180 for basically the upper deck. The category 4 is an absolute joke where it's literally maybe 500 seats. The top, you know, half of one section. It's a joke. But I digress. Some other scuttlebutt's been going on. Obed Vargas played another full 90 today for the U-20s World Cup for Mexico. Mexico beat Morocco 1-0, so they advanced to the knockout round. I think they're playing Chile, I think is the... I think that's who they're playing, but I'm not entirely sure on that. And then Reed Baker-Whiting has gotten some time, some significant minutes with USA. So hopefully both of them can continue to shine and move on to the knockout rounds and, you know, put that bid up a little higher. What do you guys think? Have you been watching any of those games?
Yeah, 10 million for Vargas now? Is that where we're at?
I heard it should be 25 at this point. I'd take it. Yeah. We could sign two more Pedro de la Vegas with that money.
If we had two more Pedro de la Vegas, we may never lose a game again.
If Pedro gets to be allowed, if the new Pedros are allowed to be on the field and Coach Schmetzer yeah. decides to play them.
Well, maybe if we have three of them, we can get 90 minutes out of all three.
Yeah. Why don't we jump straight into the game here? Because I know our special guests have to depart eventually. So we should talk some Derby. This is the first time that Seattle's beat Portland at home since
2017.
Since 2017. Dan, I don't think you even lived in the state then, did you? Nope.
No, I think I was in Wichita Falls or some god-awful place like that in 2017.
Yeah, that's wild. Cedar, you had probably already moved by then, but barely.
Yeah, I was. I've been in the Bay Area for over a decade now, yeah. So... yeah, no, it's been a long, long time. I'm glad I got to be here in person for this win.
I mean, my daughter wasn't even born at that point. And although today was fun. Today was her first, she's 5 years old, turned six next month. And today was her first F-bomb and her first middle finger. Neither of them were prompted by me. She just kind of went with the flow because she is very much belongs in the supporters section. She's very much in ECS, so pretty proud of her. And Cameron, you took a great photo. Thank you. I can't wait to share that with my family.
So are we going to get a ref you suck chant from her next week?
I think she already knows that.
Oh, yeah, she probably knows that.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I started this ref you suck chant, just for the record.
So why don't we talk about this match? Let's get right into it because, like we said, the Sounders had not won at home versus Portland since 2017, which did that include 2018 playoff loss at home, right?
Technically, that was a draw because it did go to extra time and then penalties, but that was a draw.
Right, that's right. That was a draw in the final kick of Ozzie's Sounders' career, right? He missed a penalty, sadly. He and Will Bruin, I think, missed the two in that. Two Sounder greats who had a rough ending. Will may have been around another year after that, but yeah, I mean this was a huge. I actually had watched a video I was in where I had said Caleb Porter has the most punchable face in the history of the MLS after that match.
But the good news is he's no longer in MLS, so scuttlebutt there. But you know, so you don't have to worry about that anymore.
That's true. New England has fired him. Somehow he's no longer able to fail up like he has his entire career, but you expect that from someone who coached Portland. This is a great time to be a Seattle fan. We've been in kind of free fall after the Club World or the after the League's Cup, correct? We were awesome after the Club World Cup. This is our first win after four straight without a win. What do you think was the difference in this match, Alex, versus other matches that the Sounders have been playing lately? Was there a starter who was on the field who I told everyone was going to score a goal today that was different than all the other matches where we haven't played well?
All I gotta say is Pedro.
That's right. The originator of the free Pedro movement right here, Alex Diaz, Alex Diaz played for the Mariners, so I get to mispronounce your last name like his name, Alex Diaz.
No, because we're winners over here.
Yeah, but we will say, oh no, I will say, like I told you, I told Pedro all about it at the Rave Gala, and so he knows all about the free Pedro movement, and either him or his social media team responds on Instagram whenever we post free Pedro.
You know, and once I saw Pedro starting, I was like, okay, we're going to win 3-1. We won 1-0, but we'll take a win. And I picked Pedro to score.
Yeah.
I'm like, enough said.
Yeah, I think it's a 2-1 with Pedro scoring.
Pedro, mic drop.
Yep. I mean, that's the difference in this game. Cedar, what else did you see besides Pedro? I mean, we had Rothrock and Ferreira starting up top, and Rusnak dropped back to that number six position, and that was a place we used to see him with Rusnak back there with, I think, Obed at times, and he was able to play that a little differently since he had a veteran next to him in Christian.
Yeah, absolutely. And from what I saw, you know, with flags in my face and, you know, getting to see glimpses and, you know, focusing on the words of all the chants and everything, being like, God, I don't want to mess this up. It just felt like what we saw on the field was the same kind of energy and intensity and every single player getting up for this match like they did for the League's Cup final. And that kind of energy felt like it had been missing from the past few games, and the results were kind of mirroring that. So that was really nice to see.
Before I give the mic over here to Mr. I look at the bright side of everything and I have nothing but positive things to say about the Sounders and that everything is fine, do you think that the doom and gloom is over because we're actually playing Pedro, or do you think we have more doom and gloom to come?
I mean, I don't know. I think we have some interesting challenges because we've got Rusnak is going to be out. You know, we'll probably talk about the red card, right? But
yeah,
later. But he's going to be out. We've got Obed at the U20 World Cup, right?
Keep going. That's two Brunel, of our midfielders. Yeah. Keep going.
Snyder Brunel, right? He got called up. Who else we got, right? I mean,
Christian Roldan.
Yeah, Christian Roldan.
That's four.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jeez, it just keeps going and going. So who do we have left? I mean,
so we got Joao Paulo.
Who we got have left?
And we've got Danny Leyva.
Yeah.
That is our midfield for the RSL game.
Well, you know, Jackson Reagan, he grew up playing midfielder, so why don't we move him up a line, you know? I mean.
I think it's more likely that we'll probably see, you know, Jesus drop down.
Totally, and it'll depend on Kihi, because remember, Kihi left at halftime with an injured tight calf. So if we're down another defender with Yamar still out, oh my goodness.
So that means you put Snyder, or no, I'm sorry, John Bell will go back over, so that'll be there.
Can Rothrock play in the midfield?
So we're going to take a quick break so that we can de-mic on the video side, and then we'll just hop back in.
Hey, everybody. This is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
And we're back. Again, big thanks to Copa 90 for hopping in and doing some really cool stuff. Can't wait to see final product there. What are we all drinking now that we're kind of you know, getting back into this. So why don't we go around the room? I'm starting with you, Cedar.
Moonshine.
Wow, that's
for celebratory occasions. No, I'm drinking water.
I was going to say gasoline because we're building a bonfire, but yeah, water because our waiter is nowhere to be found.
Well, we did shut the door. Yeah. So yeah, yeah, no, the service has been outstanding here. So the door is just shut. I am drinking the Tears of Portland's Fans.
And I'm drinking a cider, which is laced with the Tears of Portland's Fans. And their coach, was it Phil Neville? Which Neville is their coach?
Phil Neville.
Phil Neville, who was crying as he came off the field and got into it with, I thought it was with a little kid, but apparently the guy behind the little kid is who he was fighting with. But what you know what? This always has the explicit tag. What a fucking dick. What are you doing going out and arguing and getting the face of fans while you're walking off the field and being like, meh, 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 meh.
Crash out Phil.
I mean, you know, could be worse. Could have threw a ball at him.
I mean, he could have spit at him. So
That's also true.
I mean, I remember last year he celebrated them tying like it was the World Cup final. So, I mean, that just shows you how much ahead Seattle was to Portland.
When you're Portland, what do you get to celebrate?
The COVID tournament.
Yeah.
Oof. You know, I just don't trust a soccer coach who's Phil Neville's age wearing an oversized hoodie. You know, our coach, he dresses for the occasion. He was in a lovely suit with a sweater.
I will not have
underneath.
This Bill Belichick slander.
I mean, to be fair, I guarantee you if Dan or I were a coach, we would be wearing an oversized hoodie. We would not be wearing a suit.
But maybe Phil Neville has like a, you know, 20-year-old girlfriend who's doing the behind-the-scenes stuff, maybe. You know, we're just going to drop that. I am watching that with great enjoyment, just as an outsider that does not care.
You wish that was you, huh?
No. He does not, but you're also a Bills fan, so you relish in the failure of anything related to the Patriots, I imagine, much like we do in Seattle.
Yeah, pretty much. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, they, you know, Gronk is cool. I'll give Gronk a pass, but for the most part. And I also like that Aaron Hernandez guy. He was...
Oh, whoa. Pause.
Wait. Did I miss something? Is he not cool? Is he not cool?
Whatever. He's the Jeffrey Epstein of the NFL.
You mean he's well hung?
that's funny because Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
Did he? But I mean, he may not have done it, but he was still hung. So yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we have some scuttlebutt real quick that we should get to before we get back. Now that we've all talked about our drinks, like we'd like to talk about before we get back into the game. And I just wanted to say, what a great Chelsea match today against Liverpool. 2-1 victory, late win in a match where it felt like Chelsea should have won anyways, and it felt like this is going to be the same old Chelsea that are going to blow this. And then, no, it was Estevao scored, what, 89th minute or something like that, late goal, put Chelsea ahead 2-1. So that was super fun.
I feel like this is going to be just kind of a little bit of a disjointed episode. We're just going to kind of keep getting little freeze cuts. It'll be like Memento, you know, all backwards and that. And so, yeah, let's talk about the match a little bit. The Pedro scores 16 minutes into the game, just looked really, you know, looked really good there. What did you guys see? Dan, what were your thoughts?
So once I got out of the game, I watched the highlights because it was at the goal away from me. And dear Lord, that was a great shot. Just the whole build up to the play with... Oh, we're pouring more Portland tears into our cups. Give us just a sec. Hope that sound comes through. That is the live sound of Portland tears.
It does. The incredible taste of unfathomable sadness. You just love it.
I saw so many Portland fans going to the game, and they were super nice. I mean, all of them was really nice. Before the game, after the game, I couldn't get a single one to talk to me, so I don't know what the deal is.
It's okay. They don't want pity. No pity.
Fuck the Timbers.
My favorite thing is they call themselves Soccer City USA, right? So yeah, so on their stadium it has the initials SCUSA. Scusa, oh, scusa me.
Good times, good times. You know, so after we score that first goal, felt like we were, you know, in control for most of the game. I mean, the only thing for me, it just felt like Portland had no possession with purpose. Their chances where they looked even potentially dangerous seemed to be coming off of, you know, quick transition moments. But for the most part, I thought that they were really toothless.
And then the times that they did have the times that they did have shots on goal, Fry stood on his head and did magic, and he looks like he is fully back. In fact, I think I personally thought he was the player of the game because it could have been 2-1 Portland if it hadn't been for Fry just being the GOAT.
Yeah, I think the expected goals were not very favorable with Portland. They, you know, FootMob only has them as a 0.57, but Fry did make that really great save with his strong hand there. I mean, maybe the shot was from outside the box, but that was not easy. Matter of fact, no, I don't think that shot was from outside the box. It was just a weird...
Just kind of from a weird angle, but yeah. It was going in.
I mean, 100%.
Fry was completely horizontal when he saved it. So.
Yeah, and that's where sometimes the expected goals don't always match up with the eye test, because that in itself should have been, you know, a 0.57 from at least from what I saw. Just great save from Fry there. Cedar, was this your first time in ECS?
No, it was my second time. I had come up here a couple of years ago for a regular season game.
Oh, the Minnesota game, right?
Yes, Minnesota. Rusnak had the winner in that one. This was 2023, April of 2023, I want to say. And yeah, that's the other time I've been in ECS. It's always fun. You can probably hear my voice is a little dead right now, because I was singing my ass off, and it was worth it.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was super fun.
And my voice goes up an octave. Yeah,
yeah.
As I hit puberty. But no, that's one of the things about ECS is you get that energy, but sometimes you need to rewatch the game to really kind of see what happened.
Definitely, definitely. But you know, we're especially for a match like that against the Timbers, you gotta bring the energy, and it feels like we did. So yeah, I'll be happy to watch the replay.
Admittedly, the ECS crowd was great today. Like, I did not hear Portland do their alphabet chant all night.
I will say that sitting on like the 45-yard line, they were really loud and they were going strong. I could hear Portland really well. So credit to their fans for bringing it, but didn't help their team win. It's hard. I imagine it's hard to root for that team when Merritt Paulson is your owner. Like, how do you? I mean, we are so lucky. I know we have our quibbles with our management sometimes, but at least it's not like what Portland has to deal with. Because, oh my goodness,
just shooting some accusatory glances across the room right here while you say that, you know. But yeah, it would suck to be in their situation where, you know, you love a team, you care deeply, and they just fail you.
Oh, wait, we're Mariners fans. We know that feeling.
I don't think we're all Mariners fans.
We're all about the Sounders here.
Wow, that's getting awkward.
I will say, you know, seeing some of these Timbers fans, you know, a lot of them are also Mariners fans because, you know, that's the closest MLB team. And it just made me feel weird. I felt like, how do I put...
Yeah, I mean, we were literally at a bar where there was Sounders and Timbers fans watching the Mariners together, yeah, rooting for the Mariners.
I don't know how I, like, can, you know, put, like, how do I feel about a person like that? Because, I mean, to be a Mariners fan, you know, that's like trauma bonding,
it's
right,
suffering
there with other Mariners fans, 100%.
Yeah.
And then it's also the worst person you could possibly think of. So it's like, it's really, really strange.
I mean, my Timbers fans friends aren't listening, so I'll agree with you. But if you are listening, I love you.
No, you don't. He's lying. It was kind of like how the people in Seattle that support the Trailblazers.
Like me. I root for the Trailblazers because there was never a real rivalry with the Trailblazers and the Sonics. They were never both good at the same time. So, and also black and red is pretty dope colors.
I mean, yeah, I'll give you that. The colors are pretty dope. The team, not so much, but that's...
I mean, every team in the 90s changed their color scheme to black and red. It's not that good of a color scheme.
Says the guy who took me to see LeBron James play at Portland. So he clearly likes Portland to a degree because we saw LeBron, the GOAT.
Did he even play like 20 minutes?
Yeah, he played the whole game. This was before.
Was this at with Cleveland? I mean, it's Cleveland.
Yeah. He played. He had an incredible dunk over Nurkic.
Yeah, I mean, that game was cool because that was kind of my first exposure to Dame. Dame Lillard as well. Funny enough, actually, Scuttlebutt listener Eric was one of the four people in that car. So it was me, Cameron, Eric, and one other. And that was just a really fun day. I believe I pissed on Providence Park, didn't I? Because I really had to pee afterwards. Wait.
I might have split by that point since I was living part time in Portland, but.
Allegedly. I believe some liquid might have left my body. They weren't tears.
You might be really part of Portland then at that point.
Well, I was relieved to do so.
Is that like pissing on the Alamo? Is that kind of like the same thing? Like,
pretty much, yeah. Yeah. You know, when you got a long drive home, you gotta find a spot to go, and there just wasn't anywhere except for
well, I mean you're like driving, you're like, look, there's a huge toilet right there, just
yeah, it was perfect. A public urinal.
I mean, that's the amazing thing, because the McDonald's across the street is like the grossest McDonald's. One time I was in there at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and this woman said she was gonna smash her gonorrhea fingers into the ketchup if they didn't fix her order, and yet that's a cleaner place to be than the stadium.
What's crazy is that
I remember
going to Dave and Buster's.
I
went like the full yard outside, and then the Uber guy gave me like a soda. He's like, "Here you go. You need this more than I do."
I want you all to just picture someone telling you they're gonna smash their gonorrhea fingers.
I don't want to picture
just
that.
Picture it.
No.
Picture what gonorrhea fingers look like.
No.
And stop.
Just stop right there. Just stop. Take his mic away. He's done for the day. You're done.
Yeah, there's a reason why during the watch parties for the Sounders, we often had to cut off Nicholas's mic.
All before the match started, right?
All the time. At least once a game, he would say something inappropriate. And, you know, we had visitors calling in or watching from, like, Uruguay. I think we had someone from China one time. And Seattle's best and brightest were out here saying stuff that were getting their mics turned off.
Well, this is why he started. He joined his own podcast. So he can say whatever he wants. He can
say whatever he wants as long as I don't have the controls like I do today.
Yeah, there's very much so. Anytime you hear anyone go "and muted," that was a fairly regular occurrence.
And but muted.
But you know, here's the thing though: it was never graphic. It was just always, I would always just kind of see how close to that edge I can get.
I don't know. Gonorrhea fingers seems pretty graphic. Now, I would imagine that it would look like a green circle with a white axe in the middle, though. That's
Now, we're having fun here, and we're talking about everything that we like to say about Portland. But I will say, can you take Salt and Straw back? Because every single neighborhood like has three Salt and Straws, like they're fucking Starbucks now. And I like Salt and Straw, but I've had enough.
Do not besmirch the best ice cream flavor in existence, which is their Pot of Gold, where they take Lucky Charms cereal and they steep it in their ice cream base. So the ice cream base is like the cereal milk, and then they put the marshmallows in the ice cream when the ice cream is there. It is great, but it's only a limited time thing. So I will shamelessly plug that one.
That sounds good.
It does sound pretty good. Let's get back to the match though, because it is after midnight, and I'm sure there's not just people in this room, but servers and other people who want to sleep eventually.
We're at a 24-hour restaurant, so that's not going to happen. But be careful, because if we feed them, they're going to turn into gremlins.
You know what is not limited time? Cookies and cream ice cream.
Oh, I'll be a gremlin for that.
There we go. Gotcha.
So I'd say that takes us to halftime, what we were talking about. And then it comes out the second half. The Sounders were struggling just a little bit. It seemed like, although, Portland wasn't putting together great possession, they kept having breakaways that would allow them, not one-on-ones with Fry, but at least one-on-one with a defender. Nuhu, who beasted up at the beginning of that game and just looked awesome, continued to do so in the second half when he was breaking down those runs and staying on the people. And we saw Christian do some great things, because early on he gave the ball away in dangerous spots, I think three different times. And then he megged someone right after that, and it was incredible. But there was a little rough out there to start the second half. Were you afraid, Cedar, that we were not going to be able to hang on at that point?
At the start of the second half?
Yeah, just throughout the first 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't afraid. I was still pretty confident, but you could definitely see Portland get their moments, and like you were saying, all the transition moments that they had did seem like, halfway dangerous to, kind of dangerous. And I wonder if that's maybe the byproduct of not having a guy like Obed out there, who is really, really good of just making himself like glue to the opposition in the midfield. And Rusnak hasn't played.
He was running like wild. He was a wild man.
Totally. This is not to besmirch his performance, right? But he's he was being asked to do something that he hasn't done in a few years. So there's still got to be a little bit of a learning curve there. Our waiter at this place, he has like the nicest, like deepest, smoothest voice. Joe, how could you not? His voice is incredible.
I kind of wanted to get him back on.
Can we get a Ghost Sounders from this guy?
Just if we haven't mentioned, shout out 13 Coins. I think we've said we're at a restaurant, but we haven't said where we are. We're at 13 Coins. Shout out 13 Coins. They've always been good to me and to the Seattle Superhawks, who I work for. So they were super awesome to give us some space tonight to be able to record this podcast and coming down here and supporting a local restaurant. So, this and they're open late night, which is not something you find in Seattle elsewhere. So definitely support them here.
And their waiters have some of the deepest, smoothest voices we've ever heard. So get weak at the knees every time he walks in the room.
I mean, we are going 13 Coins after dark.
I mean, I'll try to get him back on the mic when he has to come close out my tab. that
might. Daddy Dan paid for all of us.
Oh, I'm sorry. That didn't get picked up by the microphone. So I heard you say, thank you so much for taking care of us.
Yeah, it's all good as long as everybody Venmos me before my wife sees the transaction.
Which one?
Which wife?
No, he's back.
And here's our guest of honor.
Joe, can we get a Ghost Sounders from you just real quick?
Ghost Sounders.
Yeah. There we go. Yes.
The champion.
When you come to 13 Coins, ask for Joe.
That's right. Cedar, we were second half, a little bit of struggle there, but we held it together.
I mean, these guys put in a really great performance. I mean, shit's going to happen. We're going to give away some possession here and there. But I mean, when I was really, clenching was near the end, and it was getting a little touch and go. But Yeah, well, I mean, the ref certainly wasn't helping us out with that, but...
I'm trying really hard not to hand Nicholas the mic because we're going to have to mute him.
No, just screamed. Yeah, we
heard. Oh, there's a scream upstairs. Oh, my goodness.
Well...
Lock the door. We're going to go into... We should go into, like, lockdown mode like we do when you're a teacher in school.
So. To quote Inglourious Basterds, I ain't fighting no goddamn basement, so yeah. We better get the hell out of here.
This is such a fun episode. You know what? As much as we're just kind of talking about the game because we keep having all these amazing interruptions, let's just say that we are happy to be here with all of you listeners and celebrate with one another a fantastic 1-0 win. It just feels so special to finally have won at home for the first time in quite some time, it feels like. When was our last win at home? Was it during the final against Miami? I think that's right. So it feels like a long time ago considering where we've been. So let's get to the red card.
Real fast, before we get to the red card, I just wanted to say that my biggest takeaway from the game was the fact that we were able to withstand a lot of pressure there at the end, a lot of those breaks. Yeah. And there was a feeling throughout the entire crowd, at least the people sitting around me, like, okay, one of these breaks is going to turn into a goal and we're going to go down and they're going to equalize. And they didn't. And that gives me a little bit of hope for the playoffs, too, because we're going to have to play some tough games in the playoffs. Yeah. And it was good to see us getting back to our ways from last year, just being able to hold on to that lead.
Real quick. And the nice thing I will say, too, is we would take their breaks and then counter and then almost created goals at the end several times. And so it was amazing to see the Sounders have the ability to do that because we see them move the ball, but to turn around that quickly and then turn it into almost scoring goals was fantastic.
My biggest takeaway is that if this doesn't show to you that Pedro is our most influential DP, then I don't know what is. Like, the difference maker today was Pedro. We had Jordan and Rusnak playing multiple games in the past, and we didn't get the result. Pedro starts today, and we get the 3 points. He was our difference maker today, even though he didn't go the full 90.
I mean, yeah, he offensively definitely. Christian Roldan was just everywhere. He was amazing. He was just up and down, making some really good plays. I found it really interesting to see Albert in that eight role that Obed was playing. And I'm a little bummed that we're not going to see that next week against RSL. Just because we have so much offensive firepower between Paul Rothrock, Jesus Ferreira, Pedro de la Vega, Jordan Morris up top, having Christian and Albert as more attacking options, I am frankly surprised we only got one goal today. Portland's definitely upped their defense from previous years for sure, but I thought we had some good opportunities to get more than one goal. But most importantly, let's just appreciate the fact that we got a clean sheet. Clean sheets are always good, and this is the time of year to just keep that going.
No, I think I've been on the we need to start Thomas hype train, but I will say that Fry had a great game today. And that he proved why he is the starter. And I have no arguments against him. He had a great game, and I will give him his flowers today.
I'm going to tell you straight up that there's... Yes, people are going to have preferences between Fry and Thomas, but there's no world in which you can convince me that putting one over the other is going to...
And the tears have overflowed.
Wow. Yeah, I just don't see a world in which one over the other is going to net us a better record. I think it may be a situation where, and this is all hypothetical, we'll never actually know the answer to this, but I just don't see like Fry makes that save. Okay, that gives us that 1-0 win. But maybe, Thomas makes the save where Fry made a mistake a couple weeks ago. I think we're fine no matter which goalie we have. And because of that, I just can't I feel like Steph's got to be our starter throughout the season in the playoffs.
So I hope everybody's sitting down for this, but Nicholas, I agree with you.
Oh, my God.
Completely. I think Thomas is a better athlete right now. I think Fry has better game knowledge and management, and I don't think choosing one over the other is going to change the outcome of the games.
Yeah, the only exception would be if we knew ahead of time that it was going to go to penalties, but I don't think it's worth putting him in before penalties and switching goalies in the middle of a game. You ride the hand you're with.
Let's talk about that red card.
What red card?
There was a red card?
There was a red
card. Yeah, Rusnak's red card that when he took the Portland player down from behind, he was on a breakaway, got a red card, which is the whole reason why we're not going to have him next week.
I didn't see a red card.
Choose red card. That's the red card I remember.
Yeah, I didn't see a red card. I didn't see anything foul play. I just saw the Sounders taking out, you know, a chunk of someone's ankle.
I saw a professional foul that had to be made because no one else was going to make it deeper down the field.
Yeah, I mean, but it did result in a red, and like we said, it means that next week the Sounders have what? Usually they have play three players in the midfield, like the midfield, we'll say, not counting wingers. And they are left with, four players for those three spots? Or is it three players for those three spots? Two players for the three spots? Oh, my God.
We literally only have Danny Leyva and João Paulo. Which, by the way, shout out to João Paulo for getting his first minutes back from injury. It's just so good to see him back on the field again. Definitely really happy about that. But he's not 90 minutes fit.
Why don't we call up former Ballard FC player Peter Kingston?
Or we could call up, we were talking about this on the way over, Dan. What if we called up you and put him at center attacking mid?
Me? You want me at CDM? I'll play goalie, but I won't play CDM.
Didn't Smets play midfield back in his playing days? Yeah.
Let's get him on the field, player coach. He is on the team. I like the way you're thinking.
Can Rothrock play midfield? I mean,
honestly, it's probably Jesus Ferreira, like doing Albert was doing. He's got the sign. I don't think you're going to put Pedro back there. I don't think. No. I don't know who's the most defensive. You know what? This is a Brian problem. Yeah, that's going to be fun. Now, here's the good news. The good news is we have two games to go. We're currently fifth in the table in the Western Conference. LAFC is 4 points ahead of us with two games in hand. So let's just stop ourselves right there from doing hypotheticals. Vancouver is uncatchable. We can't catch third. But sixth place is Austin. They are 5 points behind us with same number of games. Portland is 5 points behind us, but they only have one game left, so they can't catch us. So realistically, we're pretty much locked into that five spot. So if Albert's going to be out for a game, you know, this is probably the best case scenario. Get him a chance to get some rest, I guess.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I mean, I think the question is who's going to end up, who are we going to have to go play at first? And my guess is it's going to be Vancouver or Minnesota because LAFC has those two games in hand and they seem unstoppable since they brought in. I mean, Sun and Buonga together is sick, but
four straight wins.
Four goals and three goals in the other. So they are pretty unstoppable. But in the end, yeah, the red card happened. It was late, but Sounders came away victorious. I think Moose had a few chances to score. You want to talk about that LAFC real quick?
Yeah, I just want to kind of point out just how dominant that pairing has been to start. Their last four games, they've scored four goals, and three. In LAFC versus San Jose, Buonga got a hat trick and Son got a goal. So they were responsible for all four goals. Salt Lake, 4-1. Sun got the hat trick, and Buonga got the goal. So between that, they both got four goals. Then RSL again, Buonga got three, Sun got one. And then against St. Louis this week, Sun got two, Buanga got one. So they, all of their goals in their last, you know, four games have come. So that's what, 4, 8, 12, 15 goals have come between those two players in the last four games.
You mean a summer signing can have a positive impact on a team?
Don't show Adrian that.
A summer signing that we literally had no mechanism to bring in. So let's not, yeah. Yes, that summer signing is, it's a great signing. It's looking great. He's also, he's a world-class player, okay? Period. Let's not go there.
It's why when we were linked to Drogba, I was like, I don't care when we bring him in, bring him in. And then it was too late eventually, but there's certain players that you know are going to come in and dominate, and it's players of that caliber, world-class players. Most players don't have that impact, as we saw most of the players that got signed this summer. You're not, they might have a little playoff impact, but they didn't have a big games down the stretch. But I think Son and Buanga together, I mean, you didn't go into assists on those where they had some assists on each other's goals too. So if you talk about total goal contributions, it's more than 15. So it's pretty crazy.
Wait, so Drogba was linked to the Sounders?
Oh, at one point, there was, you know, when the rumor mill goes crazy, Drogba was linked to us, Torres was linked to us. There was a lot of crazy rumors at one point, but they, you know, those things didn't. We brought in Oba, who was easily the best player in the league, even though he lost the MVP to Robbie Keane. He was still fantastic.
What's crazy is that he went to, out of all the teams he went to Montreal.
Which, yeah,
crazy with, to me.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's the French, and
those wily French. Beat me to it. Beat me to it. So with that in mind, any final words? Any last thoughts about tonight? Cameron, why don't we start with you?
Big win. I think it changed. Our mentality is a lot, and I think the mentalities of a lot of the fans, just to finally have a win, and a win against Portland. I know the last episode we did with the Ultras, we talked ourselves off the ledge and then proceeded to immediately get back on it but not record. So that was probably good, because it would have been very negative episodes. And this makes me feel a little more positive where, you know, the teams we're going to play in the playoffs aren't Portland, but they, if we show up, we can play. We just got to show up. And this team is still very, very talented. And so it reminds us how good this team is, even though they've kind of shat the bed since the final there against Miami.
So for me, as a collective, this team can play with anybody. We saw it against Miami. They can play with LA as a collective, even though they don't have two players with the amount of form or top level talent, world class talent as LA, and that's okay. But also for me, is we're playing with house money right now, and if we don't win another game this year, and this is how the season ends, we beat Portland and we got a trophy, so I'm pretty happy, and that's how I feel about it.
Though I will just say real quick, just keep in mind that those last four games we talked about, it's been Salt Lake, Salt Lake twice, San Jose, St. Louis. So not exactly the top of the league.
We're talking about our games. He was talking about our games, not LAFC's.
Okay, well.
I am muted.
I think the concern was saying that we don't have two top-end players like Buanga and Son.
Yeah.
Don't hate on Pedro. Okay, leave him alone.
I like you guys are saying, I mean, it's nice to win a trophy against Messi, the Barca boys, and then to also finally get that monkey off our back and beat Portland at home. It feels really good. And, you know, yeah. I mean, do I want us to make a deep run into the playoffs? Yes, of course. But if that doesn't come into, you know, fruition, then it was still a great season, and we had some really great moments. We're definitely not winning the MLS Fair Play Award, though, that they give out every year. I mean, all our red cards. I mean, it feels like every single person on this team has gotten a red card. So that's kind of funny, but yeah, great game. happy to be here.
I thought, wasn't that the whole point? Give racism the red card? That's that whole campaign they have. this is why we keep getting it, right?
You know, a quick side note, though. Did they not do the Soccer Kicks Cancer in September? I don't remember seeing anything about that this year.
They wore the jersey, the warm-up tops for it, at least.
The warming?
It's after midnight. I'm sleepy. I have to get up and go to a Taylor Swift movie tomorrow.
Oh.
Let's wrap it up before we die.
Didn't you say yes to
here.
That in the first place?
I did. Let's wrap it up because we're about to lose all our power here.
Goodbye. Hashtag free Pedro.
All right, you know what? Where can we find you all?
They're all on the Discord. That's what they always say. They no longer give out their internets. I'm Legal Minded Punk on everywhere but X because I'm still banned because of Liverpool fans and
Dick Tracy.
And
I am Cascades the C on Instagram, and you can find me on the Discord under Nicholas.
Do we want to sing Build a Bonfire?
Build a bonfire, put the timbers on the top, with the white caps in the middle, and we'll burn the fucking lot.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFC Scuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVox US. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.